Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, I'm Larry Mueller here, and today on Garden Talk, we'll be talking about caring for your houseplants through the winter. Melinda Myers, our guest, more than 30 years of horticulture experience, written over 20 gardening books, and it's going to be great to talk with her about what's going on with your flowers. I might take some other gardening questions as well. When I have a gardening question and Melinda's not around, I look for Michelle Good. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Larry.
She knows a lot about gardening, and she's with me today to talk about listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio and our year-end membership drive. And right now is your chance to make sure we get a good start to 2018. You make WPR programs possible. And as we head into the new year, we want you to pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We're moving along pretty well here.
We are. Last hour, we heard from 31 donors and 8 new members. Thank you so much to everyone who gave. Now, it's a new hour, a new goal. Our goal this hour is to get 30 pledges by 12 o'clock. These goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs that you rely on.
So, I hope you show your support during this year-end membership drive and during this centennial year. You want to make the programs you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio possible today, tomorrow, maybe for the next 100 years. So let's meet that goal. It starts with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you might wonder, what is public radio? Why is it different from other radio? Well, public radio means that it is listener-supported radio.
And we certainly appreciate business contributions, and we love the federal and state tax dollars we receive. Still, listener support's the single largest source of our budget. Your contribution, any amount, really matters at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Thank you very much for being a Wisconsin Public Radio listener. And thank you to everyone who's already become a member. It's listener support. That means your support that makes WPR an unparalleled resource in Wisconsin and beyond.
If WPR is your radio home, I hope you'll support it right now. Make the news, the talks, the music possible with your first ever gift. Maybe it's $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
This season of giving, let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio to people in need throughout Wisconsin. Pledge $10 or $20 a month to support your favorite radio programs and help feed those facing hunger in your area. Do two good things with your gift to WPR right now when you choose one of the food bank gifts at WPR.org.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Michelle Good, raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all the programs you enjoy on the air. And I don't care if your pledge is $10 a month or maybe $100 a month. We certainly appreciate and count on your gift.
Have you noticed, Larry, lately everybody is just crazy busy?
Yes.
I mean, in the last, like, 5 years, everybody is, I have no time, I'm just trying to fit this in. And we know how valuable your time is. We value your time, too. So we make this process really easy for you. It just takes a few minutes. We just need your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you want to pay for it.
So take the next couple of minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
We still need 30 more pledges before the top of the hour. This year-end membership drive is the last pledge drive of our centennial year. It's also the last time this year you can give Larry a shout-out with your contribution. He was just inducted into the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Ooh. Maybe that that is a little extra encouragement for you to pledge. Show your support for this program and all the great programs you hear on this station every single day by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this pledge drive, you can do two good things at once. You can choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month. And you provide meals for those in need in your specific area. So I hope you'll give right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And maybe consider becoming a sustainer when you make that pledge. It's really easy to set up. It's convenient. They're ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. You get to stop it whenever you want. You still have control. You can raise it. You can lower it, however it works in your budget. But you know that your membership is always current. You are always supporting the station that you rely on. And then we can rely on your support just the way you listen to us. So consider becoming a sustainer. Get started when you make your pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I'll tell you, one person who's been a constant contributor in so many ways to Garden Talk and our programs is Melinda Myers. Melinda, as I mentioned earlier, has so much experience, more than 30 years experience as a horticulturist. She's got 20 gardening books and, Small Space Gardening comes to mind, Midwest Gardener's Handbook, nationally syndicated Melinda Garden Moment, Melinda's Garden Moment, I should say. Horticulture degrees, master's in horticulture, as a matter of fact. Melinda Myers, welcome.
Thank you. And you're right. I'm proud to be a supporter of public radio, not only as one of your guests, which is always a lot of fun. It's hard to say this is work at all. but also as a member, because I listen anytime I'm in the car or I'm not trying to concentrate too hard because I get distracted by all the good information I learn on public radio. I'm always listening. So I learn so much about my health, about the world, and your other gardening experts always help me do a better job in my own garden, too.
Well, I tell you what, I was on your website this morning, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, we've got to get ready. It's only a few days until National Poinsettia Day.
I know. I hope everybody's stocked up and bought their poinsettias, and if not, it's time to go out and do a good job of selecting healthy ones. That's the first step, and then giving them proper care so that whether you keep them or give them as a gift, they look good throughout the holidays.
And, you know, people often talk about, well, I don't want poinsettias in the house. They'll kill the cat or kill my dog. But I guess they'll make them maybe wish they were dead sometimes. But they're not a serious poison, are they?
No, you're absolutely right. They may do a little foaming. All the poison plant information is wrong, and so poinsettias aren't poisonous. But, you know, when we're bringing new plants, whether they're house plants or holiday plants, and you have pets, especially if they like to nibble on plants, or children, but for pets, go to the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. They have a pretty good list, extensive list of plants that are toxic to dogs and cats. So that's, if you're concerned, that's always a good place to start. And, you know, the Internet, a lot of the hospitals, especially children's hospitals, will list some poison, you know, things to be concerned about. But with poinsettias, you're absolutely right. You don't want them nibbling on them because it ruins the beauty. And like you said, they may have get a tummy ache, but, you don't have to worry about them dying from them. But we don't want them sick and doing how our animals remind us when they're not feeling good.
Yes, I know. I have a little apron under the Christmas tree, and Coco, no, I think it was Tiger, was eating on the needles and deposited a nice gift on the the tree curtain.
So
and I'm thinking about ways to kind of fold it because I don't want to wash it right. Yeah, it's got all these buttons on it, and oh well.
And there'll probably be more opportunities to clean up afterwards. But we were talking a little bit about poinsettias, and just really quick, with any holiday plant, always wrap them up when you bring them home. Most, garden centers and florists will do that because even that quick trip from the store to your car. And then, you know, we've got so many errands to run. Don't leave them in a cold car. You know, I had somebody one time leave their poinsettia in their car overnight, and he said, "Do you think it's dead?" I said, "I'm probably." And then take it out of the sleeve right away, because when those bracts and leaves are folded up, they give off ethylene, and then that really shortens the flowering time and the beauty of the plant. So if you're going to give it as a gift, but it's a few days away, take it out of that sleeve. Bend down the foil if it's wrapped in foil so the light can reach all the leaves. And then when I'm visiting people, I'm always asked, "Oh, what's wrong with my poinsettia?" And so the first thing I do is lift it out of the basket, the decorative pot, or the foil. And usually there's an inch of water in the bottom. So make sure you allow that excess water to drain away from the pot. But if you do those things in a bright location, out of draft, your poinsettia is going to look good throughout the holidays and beyond.
Perfect. Well, Joy in Green Bay doesn't have a poinsettia question. Has a different question, so let's go there. Hi, thank you for calling, Joy.
Hi, nice to hear from you guys. This is my first time calling. I'm actually calling because a friend of mine has an apple tree that he found. His family has an apple tree that's been established for years, and he found little apple trees that him and his son wanted to take one and grow next season, and he's got it in a pot right now in his house. And I just want to make sure that he's doing what he can to make sure that the apple tree can be planted next year.
Good question. And a couple things, Joy. First of all, the seedlings won't be the same as the tree that he collected that it came from because of pollination and depending on the variety, most likely it won't come true. So just, it's a surprise, and that's part of gardening, and that's how new varieties are discovered. So just so as he's raising it and it finally bears fruit in 10 years, he's not like, "These are not my mother's apples." Okay? So we'll stop the disappointment in advance. The other thing is, keeping it indoors for winter is challenging because our homes are too warm and it really needs to go dormant. He may want to. Some people will create kind of a cold frame if he doesn't have a cold frame in their window wells, or an unheated garage, which won't be as brutal as the outdoors. What I would do, I'm guessing they're in small pots, so I'd set those small pots in either some kind of container or box and then insulate them, you know, with additional potting mix, with mulch, packing peanuts that aren't biodegradable, because if those biodegradable ones get wet, they stick together. But that'll help insulate the roots. And then the benefit in an unheated garage is it's a little more sheltered. And then just water whenever the soil is thawed and dry. Because last winter and a few other winters where we've had some unusually warm spells, things that are overwintering in unheated garages, the soil dries out. It thaws out, it dries out, and that's really what kills them. It's not the cold winter temperatures. It was the thawed, dry soil. So he just needs to kind of keep an eye on them. If we get a warm spell outside, check, give them a shot of water if needed. And that would be a good way to overwinter them. And then if he knows where he wants to plant them, or put them in a sheltered location, you know, leave them in their containers in the summer where he'll remember to water. But once he gets them in the ground, I definitely surround them with hardware cloth because voles and deer and rabbits will love to munch on them, and they've worked pretty hard to lose them that way. So just give them a little extra protection those first few years.
Awesome. Thank you so much, because I know him and his son are kind of looking forward to this kind of like little project. And
House
is built by a grandfather, so it's going to be there for a while.
Oh, you know what? That's great. And, you know, you bring up a good point. There are so many ways we can make memories with our children, and doing projects like this is just great. They learn so much. It's a good memory, good lessons in patience. Good
Every time you look at that tree.
And then later on, he can be older and he can look at his kids and go, "Hey, me and my dad did this when I was your age." So
exactly.
That's kind of where my friend's going.
Oh, that's cool. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. And I think you'll inspire others to do the same.
Yeah. Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in too, by the way. Number to call 1-800-642-1234. You can email us. The email address is ideas@WPR.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. Love to hear from you. Melinda Myers, our guest today. Michelle Good joins me again. This is listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio, and she's here to help me tell you about our year-end membership drive. And if you've been putting off donating to WPR in 2017, you are running out of time. It's time to take action. If you have given or you're a sustainer, make a special year-end gift. It just takes a few minutes at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And have we moved the needle at all, Michelle?
We have. We are making progress. We have gotten 5 pledges in. We've 1 new member. Thank you to everybody who pledged. Now, how about you? We are still looking for 25 more pledges in the next 40 minutes or so. Make your gift to support the programs that you enjoy and rely on every single day, like Larry Mueller. Your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It really does make a difference.
Yeah, I love doing this Garden Talk program, and every Friday and Saturday morning, we hear from a different guest expert about one of your favorite pastimes, gardening. And I think it's one of the most popular weekday shows.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, I think it is. Some guests are horticulture professors who can answer a wide variety of questions. Others are like our guest today. Melinda Myers has so much experience and answers questions in a really friendly way. And we talk about lawns and trees and vegetables and native plants and a whole lot more. So I hope you'll put a vote in for Garden Talk here, where you get so much gardening information all year long with your pledge at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Now, Larry is probably too humble to say this himself, but this program gives you such important information. Garden Talk, all the programs we have, but just speaking right now for Garden Talk, horticulturists listen to this program to get information. Master gardeners use it as a credit towards their ongoing education. And you get it for free. You can ask a question of somebody that you probably would have to pay for this kind of service. You get it for free every Friday and Saturday here on the Ideas Network. That's got to be worth something to you. If it is, if you count on this program for that kind of information from really qualified experts, make that pledge right now. It's the season of giving. And when you make your pledge, you can do 2 good things at the same time. Your donation supports The Larry Mueller Show and all the great programs you rely on. And you can ask for one of the food bank gifts when you make a pledge of $10 or $20 a month. These thank you gifts, they provide meals to those facing hunger in your area through regional food banks. It all starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is Ira Glass, host of This American Life, here to say happy centennial, Wisconsin Public Radio. It's hard for any nonprofit to stay alive and stay going and keep to a mission and keep relevant. And to have done this for 100 years, it's just an amazing achievement. Congratulations, WPR.
Join our centennial celebration. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Michelle Good. Listener support's the single biggest source of funding for WPR programs, the ones you rely on. And that's why your support during this year-end membership drive is so important. And I don't care if your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month or $5 a month, whatever amount you choose, maybe $100 a month. That's the right amount.
The important thing is that you pledge, not how much you pledge. But maybe your WPR listening is worth $4 a day to you. Then you can become a member of our 9XM Leadership Circle. Contribute $100 a month. That works out to less than $4 a day to support WPR programs.
I like to say I'll give folks who join in the secret handshake so they can get into those 9XM meetings.
Really?
Yeah, there's a secret.
You give that out?
There's a secret to it. You have to know how to do it. Somebody asked me one day, how do I do it? And I showed them, and they said, oh, that way.
That's top secret.
I can't
secret,
do it on
Larry.
Radio, unfortunately. I could try, but I tell you what, think about the value you've been getting from WPR in the last year. Consider a contribution that might put you into that secret handshake in that 9XM leadership circle. You can sustain the future of Wisconsin Public Radio or help sustain it and make your leadership gift right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. One of my favorite people in the whole gardening world, or even the whole world, Melinda Myers is our guest today. Great to have her on. And thank you so much for listening during our drive. I'm going to take some calls now. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll take some emails as well at ideas@WPR.org. But Melinda, we're going to go to Ben in Madison who has something for us.
Hi, Ben.
Hi. I've been telling people, you know, I got all these house plants, and finally a couple of weeks ago, I went through and counted them. I have 70 potted plants.
Okay.
My question is, my jade plants, huge, 3.5 feet in diameter, they, for the first time, have this moldy growth on the leaves. And what is that, and how do I deal with that? And so then I'll be pledging shortly.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Ben. And then, so when you say moldy growth, is it like a powder, or is it fuzzy?
Yeah, it's kind of a grayish, powdery on many leaves, and they drop off. I've never had this before.
Powdery mildew kind of thing?
Or like a downy mildew.
Downy
too.
Mildew,
so,
yeah.
Downy mildew tends to be kind of a more grayish and fuzzy growth. And
yeah.
Usually we see downy mildew sometimes in the winter because of the low light and, you know, with 70 house plants, you got a lot of humidity going, which is good for most plants. So what I would suggest is if you can get that a little more airflow, as much light as possible. The problem is there aren't a lot of fungicides labeled for use on succulents. They're very sensitive. You might want to check out something like neem, but check the label because, honestly, I'm not sure if jade plants are on the label. A mild horticulture oil can sometimes help, like year-round spray oil. Will not only kill insects, but sometimes suffocate some of those fungal disease organisms, the fungi spores. But check the label first, just because jade is so sensitive. The other thing you may want to do is just wipe off the leaves, you know, a mild soapy solution, test it on a leaf or two. But the main thing is better
air. There's a thousand leaves. I got three giant leaves.
Oh, you got three
There's
giant
a thousand
ones.
Leaves. On
okay.
Giant
You're like, Melinda, I do have a life. Okay. Okay, so then check those, you know, go to the garden center and check, or check online, and I'll do that at the next break. And so continue listening, and I'll double check. But you might want to try doing a fungicide labeled for use on houseplants, specifically succulents. And, you know, put it, I don't know how heavy it is. I will usually put an old shower curtain under if I'm ever spraying anything, even with organic materials, just to protect your floors and your carpet and the surrounding area. But definitely if you can give it more light, more airflow, and then try one of those products to try to control it. I think it's just we've had a lot of gray days this year, and so even though you've got them in a sunny window, we've had low light intensity for much of the year, if you remember spring and early summer and, you know, lately there's been quite a bit of gray. So I think it's a lack of light, just the outdoor conditions impacting the indoor. So, and if you do use a fungicide label, test it on a couple of leaves first just to make sure it's not phytotoxic, even if the label says it isn't.
Yeah.
And I wish
Thanks
there was
so much. Solution.
Yeah.
Good luck, Ben.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're going to be busy this winter keeping everything healthy and beautiful.
Ben, do you have cats?
I have one cat.
And does your cat leave the plants alone?
No, she's clawed up the trunks on a couple of them on occasion.
Yeah, we are laughing because we both have cats, and we both know what cats do to plants. And yes, and so it's a true cat lover. Just for people who may have had problems with their cats using big plants for litter boxes, not that that's happened to me, but I found even just using chunky bark, you know, it's still decorative, that discouraged my cat. Some people put aluminum foil in there. There are these cat mats that are rubber, but the pointed ends are up, so it doesn't hurt them. It just discourages them. And then you can cut them to different sizes. So, you know, those of us that love cats just put up with it because that's part of what we love in our home. So,
you know, I've got my lime tree, I've got the aluminum foil kind of crinkled up. Limey, by the way, is just loaded with blossoms right now. It looks
excellent.
Beautiful.
And they smell so good.
Oh, it's wonderful. Wonderful thing to have in the bedroom. Ben, I tell you what, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's give Alicia in Madison a chance to join in. Alicia, hi. Thank you for calling.
Oh, yes. Hello. This is an awesome show. I love listening to you guys on the weekends. my question is we have a really old spruce. It's really big, and it's a blue spruce, and it was beautiful. But this year, it started dying, and now it's almost half dead. The only top part of it is the only thing that's left alive that's on it anymore. And it really, really saddens me because it was really beautiful, and it's really big. And
you know,
we've tried planting other little spruces around in the yard too, and we do what the packages say to do, but by the springtime they're dead, and I don't know what we're doing wrong or what we're not doing to keep the little ones alive, but I don't know if there's anything to save our big one.
Yeah,
so let's start with the big one first. And there are the two most common diseases that I see. One is Cytospora canker, and it usually affects trees just as they're getting mature and beautiful, like 15, 20 years old. The branches die from the bottom up. They kind of turn a purpley-brown, and branch by branch. And there's really no chemical control, and all you can do is prune out the dead branches, disinfect your tools between cuts, mulch the area, and water during drought. It won't kill your plant, but like you said, it's not that beautiful specimen that you had. The other one is Rhizosphera needle blight, which is a fungus. And if you look on the needles, there's two lines of black dots, and those are part of the fungus or the fungal organism. And you can spray those, but, you know, the reality, you know, Ben was talking about 1,000 leaves on his jade. You'd have 1,000,000 needles on your spruce, so you'd really need to get a professional in there with the right equipment. And you spray just as the buds break, and again, when the needles are about half elongated. And it's, for most people, it's not practical. So you may not want to add more blue spruce if you have those diseases, because if you get the little guys going, they're also susceptible. So now to the little ones. Putting in young plants, a couple things to keep in mind. Keeping grass away from them, so mulching, but don't pile the mulch on the trunk. Putting hardware cloth around it. Sink it down in the ground, you know, 3 to 4 inches. Make it wide enough that you can leave it there a few years, and at least 4 feet high. Mainly the voles eating right at soil line, especially during the winter, and they love young, tender plants. And then rabbits usually won't devour your spruce, but they may nip at them. So then keeping that fencing around just protects them. Water, and I'm sure you're doing this right. You know, we had a lot of rain early and then nothing late. And so if you have heavy soils, nature may be over or underwatering, so it makes it hard for you to intercede and do the right thing. So just check the soil moisture, digging down and making sure that soil is crumbly and slightly moist before watering. Now, are these bare root plants that you're putting in, or are they potted spruce?
We actually did try to did both.
Okay.
And they both ended up dying.
No.
Okay.
And I did try the mulch thing, and I don't know. I know we put a little bit of a lip on it to where it would, like, you know, the water would catch in the lip in the bowl type area. Is that the wrong thing to do, or should we keep it more flat?
Well, it depends.
Around it.
You know, if you make a wide dish, that is one option. There's a company, I've just seen this new product called Greenwell, and I've worked with it a little bit and very impressed. And it's kind of like the manufactured version of that. Now, you know, if you're doing a couple of smaller trees, you bury half of it so that it sticks up about 3 inches or 4 inches above the ground. It's green, so it reminds you to water, but it captures the moisture. And they're using them in places, municipalities in Minnesota, Sunnyvale, California, down south, and they're finding increased success because it holds the water near the plant, just like you're doing with your little dish that you've formed, and it reminds you to water. So it's kind of just monitor. So if you do that, and then just check the soil and make sure, and check in a few places, because even, you know, on one property, the soil can vary and drainage can vary. So having that little dish is very helpful when you're trying to keep the water around the root system in that area right outside that root ball to keep it moist. Just consistently check the moisture on several different places. I don't know how many you put in, but just kind of check in several locations. And if it needs to water and you can apply it, that'll help guide it. And then see how that water where you do make that little watering dish, is that seem to staying too moist, then you may want to flatten it out. But it does help direct the water where it's needed. So that's also, it's usually a very good idea to do that.
And that was called Green Well, did you mean that?
Green Well Water Savers. It's made out, it was designed by a gentleman in Australia where they have a lot of drought problems. And one of the guys, one of the horticulturists I talked to once in a while in Ohio, is using them on his tomatoes. He said, these are perfect for tomatoes and they're reusable. They last for years. So, you know, it might not be realistic for someone planting 100 seedlings, but if you've got a couple new plants going in, use them, then you can reuse them on new ones. But Green Well Water Savers, they're available online, and then more and more garden centers are going to be carrying them in big box stores next year. So,
well, Alicia, thank you so much for calling. I hope that helped.
Good luck. Yeah, good luck.
When I'm cutting the stuff off of, because I think it's the first one that you were talking about, because that's what it's doing, it's dying as it goes up the tree.
Right.
Do I need to do anything special when I cut them? Do I need to cut them a certain way so that the rest of the tree isn't going to do that, or does it matter what way I cut the branches off?
Good question. You want to cut flush with what's called the branch bark collar, and it's the swollen area. It almost is like a donut at the base of the branch, and you want to cut flush with that. And that way it'll close up faster. The wound will close up faster. And then just disinfecting your cut with alcohol or some disinfectant before you make the next one. And then get rid of those branches. You don't want to, you know, most of us don't compost hot enough to kill the disease organism. So however you can get rid of them, whether it's chip them and bury them, or, you know, if you burn, you could add them to the burn pile. And then that will help. And, yes, with Cytospora, the other thing to look for is kind of a bluish-white milky substance, a sap that's on the trunk and the branches is another good clue. UW Extension has some good publications on, I usually just do UWEX for University of Wisconsin Extension, and then whatever, you know, Cytospora canker, which is CYTOSPORA or spruce diseases, and that gets you to the whole collection of publications that are written for Wisconsin, which is great, which makes it very useful.
Really, really useful. Alicia, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Melinda Meyer is our guest today on this edition of Garden Talk, and I have another guest with me too, Michelle Good, back once again to talk about listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio, our year-end membership drive. Time for you to think about how much you've learned from and enjoyed WPR programs like Garden Talk this past year. Think about how you want to keep those programs going in 2018. And then go ahead, take some action right now with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And it's been a fun show so far.
It really has. And think about the things you learn on the Larry Mueller Show. Fridays and Saturdays is always dedicated to gardening, your gardening, experts from all across the state. It's a big state, and especially for gardening, that makes a difference. You know, we're in, I think we have 3 growing zones here in the state. So what you tell somebody in the southern part of the state often doesn't relate to the northern part of the state, but you can count on that information here. But you learn so much more. Yesterday, we talked about consumer scams. I actually got an email yesterday that I was about to click on. It was like, you could win $1,000. $10 for on your Verizon.
No.
And then I looked, just like your experts had said, look at that email address. And it was a Yahoo subscriber group. And I was like, that seems suspicious to me.
You were right about that.
But who knows who could have gotten that? And where did I learn that? The Larry Mueller Show. We also talk about travel. We talk about computers, physical therapy, farming, books. You name it, Larry has covered it. And not only does he cover it, you get a chance to talk to that expert, to ask them the questions that you have. This is what Larry does every day on this program. Support the programs that you love and count on by making that pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we started with a goal of 30 pledges, and we're halfway there, Michelle. So 15 more calls and pledges in the next 18 minutes or so. That's a easy thing to accomplish, I think, with everybody's help.
I think so, too. And thank you to everybody who has pledged, those 15 of you and those four new members. And if you haven't, it is the time. Help pay for the programs that you enjoy by making that contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You have a lot of bills in your monthly budget that are out of your control.
Certainly my education, but hopefully it's going to be worth it and going towards a good cause.
Rent, for sure.
Every time I turn around, my automobile insurance is increasing.
Unlike the other things you pay for, you're always in control of your sustaining membership. During this pledge drive, we ask our sustainers to consider an increase to your monthly gift. How about $5 a month? It'll go a long way to pay for the WPR programs you rely on day in and day out. Thank you for your ongoing support.
I hope you will go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your pledge during this year-end membership drive. Larry Mueller with Michelle Good, and your gift, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount. And because the single largest source of our funding comes from you, listeners, your gift is so important for the WPR programs you enjoy.
As we look ahead to 2018, we are very grateful that Wisconsin Public Radio has such strong listener support. One gift at a time, listeners provide our single largest source of funding. So how about you? If you haven't given yet, now is the time. Do it. Show your support for this program and all the great programs here on Wisconsin Public Radio by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Great to have you with us for this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with Melinda Myers, and it's always so much fun to have her with us on the show, and great to have you calling in with your questions and comments. You know what? Randy in Fountain City has been waiting quite a while, Melinda, so let's go there. Randy, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you very much. It's more of a comment. I produce earthworm castings, and I just want your speaker to tell the listeners the benefits of such a product for us as a soil builder and a plant food. And because people just don't seem to be educated enough on it, but it's something that she will know the benefits of and why it's so wonderful. And I even have like master gardeners in the area that just aren't sold on the product, and I'll leave it at that.
Well, Randy, thank you for bringing it up. I was just actually talking about vermicomposting, using red worms to create worm castings. It's a great fertilizer. It's wonderful. It was actually many years ago, one of the master gardeners when I was an extension agent who introduced me to it. And so I've been doing vermiculture, worm composting, for 30-some years. And I love to use the worm castings in my container gardens. I don't usually use it with my transplants, but you can, with your seedlings, because it's very low nitrogen. It's good for the soil. I don't use it in my large beds, usually because I don't have enough. I'll use my regular compost, but I will top dress around plants and use it that way.
It's a wonderful thing, and it's a great, great, easy product to make yourself if you're not purchasing and buying it yourself. You just need a storage bin, drill some holes, shredded paper. Most of us have way too much of that in our life. Moisten it, a handful of compost, red worms, and your kitchen scraps. And it's a great way to keep kitchen scraps out of the landfill and put them to work in your garden as worm casting. So you're absolutely right. It's really very easy to do. In the winter, I have an attached garage, so I keep my worm bins right up against the house. Gardener Supply has a really pretty one that I'm keeping my mud room because it's pretty enough to keep there. You know, you got to have the right, either the right worm bin or the right partner if you're bringing worms in your house, right?
Right about that.
Yeah. So it's, thank you for bringing that up, Randy.
Yeah. Thanks, Randy.
And you know what? That would be a great present for an avid gardener because there are lots of worm farms. And as I mentioned, Gardener Supply has some really pretty, it's, I think, the Worm Factory, but you'll see it if you go to their site or garden centers, you know, and maybe a gift certificate to the nearby bait store. That's usually where I purchase mine. And it's just, it's a fun family project. You know, if somebody likes to fish, it's a great way to grow your own bait. Once you start, you'll have plenty of worms. I grow my worms and share them when I do workshops with kids and families. So thanks for bringing up, Randy. You're absolutely right. Those worm castings are very beneficial, help the soil, help the garden. Easy to do if you grow your own, and if you don't have space, there are some available for sale out there. So give it a shot. It's a lot easier than you think, and it's a good way to recycle all those veggie scraps. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great way to just kind of recycle right where you need it.
Thank you, Randy. Appreciate it. I want to give Connie and Portage a chance to join us, so let's go there. Connie, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Connie.
Hi. I have a gardenia tree.
Okay.
And I brought it in from outside on the south side of the house all summer. It just bloomed constantly. It was beautiful. And now it's in the south window. The leaves are turning yellow. One bud got yellow and hard, and I haven't had any more since. And I water it constantly, and I wondered, what am I doing wrong?
Well, you're doing nothing wrong. I have to tell you.
Maybe overwatering.
But that's a possibility.
Oh.
But also bringing it inside, there's that change of light from outside mm-hmm. when we come inside. Larry's right, check the water. They like it moist, but they don't want it soggy. I have a gardenia tree also, and so I have mine on a saucer with pebbles because they like humidity. So when I water thoroughly, the excess comes out. The pot's above, so I don't have to dump that excess water out of the saucer. So it sits above as that water evaporates, it increases the humidity around the plant. I used to do interior plantscapes when I was in college, and we would get moisture meters and all these things, and I found my finger worked the best. I just stick my finger in the soil. You could feel it. Is it, you know, slightly moist like the sponge that's been wrung out? Then it's time to water. But, you know, sometimes we over-fertilize, over-water trying to help our plants, and part of it's just the adjustment coming indoors. That's real typical. Finding the right watering schedule, as Larry mentioned, very important. And then with fertilizer, we don't want to fertilize in the winter unless our plants are actively growing because we're just trying to keep them alive this time of year. And gardenias are pretty tricky. They like the humidity. They like acidity. So, you know, I know this sounds, if we get snow, melting snow, collecting rainwater, most of our tap water. And Portage, you might, you know, you may be okay, but a lot of our water is very alkaline because of the limestone bedrock, and so down in the southern part of the state, so sometimes we're actually liming the soil. So, you know, rainwater is a good option. Dehumidifier water, if you haven't used any harsh cleansers on your dehumidifier, that's what I also use. So those might be some things to be helpful, but Larry's right. Start with the moisture. Realize there's going to be some just adjustments to the lower light, and then just try to increase the humidity, grouping plants together or elevating it on pebbles, in, you know, keeping extra water in the saucer, but elevating it above that.
I forgot to tell you one thing.
Okay.
On the south window,
is a register, a heat register.
Oh, hot air?
I know, and yeah. I don't have any other place to put it, and I've been trying to pull it away from it. I have it in a saucer, but I can put some pebbles under, you know, underneath. It's a pie plate, and
yeah.
I can put, you know, some pebbles. But you think that heat might be killing it?
Or? It's definitely drying the air out. It's not quite killing it. And I have to laugh because everywhere I have brought plants in for the winter because I'm a gardener. First and foremost, and all my big windows, the register's right there, too. So,
yeah,
and, you know, if you can use a diverter to kind of divert it away, or at least having the, increasing the humidity is a good idea, especially since it's by that register.
All right. Would it hurt to spray it? You know,
it won't give you a lot of benefit, but it won't hurt.
Won't hurt. And diverters are, you know, can work.
Right. Yeah.
You can jerry-rig something just to get the heat away from the plant.
Absolutely. I can take cardboard if I can't find one.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. And you mentioned at some point fertilizer through that. Is there any time we continue to fertilize houseplants over the winter?
You know, if they're under artificial lights, if you've got really good bright light and you're seeing good growth on the plants, flowering plants, you know, African violets, if they're blooming, you know, a very dilute solution of a flowering houseplant fertilizer or right after they're done blooming, like your poinsettia, if you're going to keep it, though those new varieties keep blooming until spring, your Christmas cactus, you know, after it blooms for Christmas, you might want to give it a very dilute solution to help, you know, give them a little boost. Yeah, but, you know, if anything, err on the side of diluting, and you can always add more. You just can't take it away. But, you know, they're just not growing so well. Our light intensity's low. Our humidity's low. We're just trying to get them through the winter in most cases.
I'm trying to get myself through the winter. I have a cold. I've had a cold for only about 3 weeks or so, which has been keeping me coughing a bit from time to time. And I tell you what, it's sometimes a little difficult, but it's never difficult when Michelle Good stops by because she knows how to perk me up.
Oh, Larry,
keep
so
me
sweet.
Going. And if there are any medicinal plants, she'd be the one to bring them to me.
That's true. I would.
she knows a lot about gardening. And she's here to help me with this year-end membership drive. Your support is vital to all the programs you hear on WPR. That's why we're here to ask for your gift right now as 2017 comes to an end. And we look forward to us starting 2018 on a strong basis. So make the programs you rely on possible when you give at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
Well, so far in this show, we have covered earthworm castings and wintering over your houseplants and fruit trees and even gift suggestions, plants you can and can't buy. Best idea I've had so far? Gift certificate for a gardener at a bait store. Like, who would have thought of that? I mean, even just gardeners I know who could oomph up their little earthworms, just give them a gift certificate to the bait store. I love that idea. And this is the kind of stuff you hear every day on Larry's show. These are the kind of conversations he has, and you get to be a part of it. So now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We started out with a goal of 30 pledges, and we now have 8 pledges to go. So, we've done 22 pledges. Thank you so much if you have contributed. If you haven't done it yet, boy, this is a great time to do it as we near the top of the hour, and that goal maybe gets away from us. So don't let it get away from us. Give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that deal?
I'd love to go to the record store and name my price for a lot of the albums I see.
If I could pick and choose for shoes, that would be fantastic.
Netflix, streaming options, music, and a weekend cocktail, too.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Michelle Good, raising the money that keeps us on the air and all those great programs that you enjoy. Whether your pledge is $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we certainly count on your gift.
You might be thinking to yourself, well, I listen, but I don't really listen that much. I mean, not enough to really support the program. But you might not realize this. If you are listening on your way to and from work and then a little bit on the weekend, you are listening to this radio station for hundreds of hours a year.
That is right. And if you've never given to WPR before, I hope you'll make your gift today. Maybe it's $10 or $20 a month for hundreds of hours of listening. I think that makes WPR one of the best information and entertainment bargains you're going to find anywhere. So your gift right now, no matter what amount you choose, really does make a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now, I'm going to get a little bit of desperation here in my voice because we are running out of time to make this goal, and we still have 8 more pledges to go. You can keep pledging once the news starts. It'll count towards this hour, but please help us make that goal. Show your support for this program. This is the last time this during the week you can show your support for Larry, so do it now. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you very much. Make today the day maybe that you increase your support of WPR by, let's say, $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose. And here's what you have to do. You have to go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Thanks so much for all your support at WPR. Great to have you with us for this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with my guest today, Melinda Myers. It's always wonderful to have her with us today. The affable Jane Rotunda, our on-air producer, and so much fun to see her smiling face across the glass as well. And great to have your ears tuned in to us. I want to tell you a little secret. No, it's not a secret at all. The Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association has a $2,500 dollar-for-dollar match for this last 20 minutes, or last 30 minutes of the show. So here's a chance to double your money, courtesy of the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. Michelle Good and I will be talking about that a little later, but I wanted to let you know right now, if you haven't contributed, please do it right now, and we can double the amount of your contribution. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And let's see, we have a caller from Janesville, Charlotte, Melinda. Let's go there, see what's on Charlotte's mind. Hi, Charla.
Hi. I have a clevia plant.
Okay.
I picked up this summer. It was root-bound. It has a lot of tubers in it. And I wasn't sure what to do with it in the wintertime or, for that fact, in the summertime.
Clevia, is that, or Sylvia? Is it Sylvia or Clevia?
No, Clevia.
Clevia, okay.
C-L-I-V-I-A, and it's a South African plant, I think, is where it's from originally. And so a couple things, so you brought it inside, I take it, or did you dig out?
Oh, no, it's outside. I mean, it's inside in the basement.
Oh, okay, so you're letting it go dormant for the winter then?
That's what I think I'm supposed to do.
Okay, so a couple things. Some people will grow them year-round, but giving them that resting period indoors about 12 weeks, that's a good idea. Don't water, don't fertilize, obviously. Just enough water. Did you dig them up and so they're packed in peat moss or just brought the plant in and it's still in the pot?
It's still in the pot. I transplanted it into another pot.
Okay, great. So just enough water, you know, you're just letting it go dormant. And then after the rest period, after about 12 weeks, when you're ready, bring it up into a warm area, start watering. Give it a little very dilute solution of a flowering houseplant fertilizer. You should start to see new growth and flower buds as well. The worst thing that will happen is you get leaves and no flowers, but giving it that rest period allows it some downtime, hopefully triggers that blooming period. They're a little tricky to do, but that's part of why we garden, right? So So I think putting them in your basement, just check to make sure they don't totally dry out, and you should be fine.
All right.
And just water occasionally, dilute fertilizer.
Just enough so that if you see the foliage starting to truly shrivel up, they give it a little shot.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate your call. By the way, you can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And speaking of emails, Anne in Madison emailed and wonders about when giving plants as gifts to people with pets, are there really plants you should definitely avoid? She mentions poinsettias and lilies, and we know that poinsettias can make them sick, probably not. It's not going to kill them. What about lilies?
Lilies are pretty toxic. Also, a couple of my favorite, I love the Jerusalem cherry, but it is very toxic. So I have cats right now that like to eat everything, so I don't bring those in. And even the ornamental peppers, if they feed on the leaves, can make them sick as well. One of the things, again, is check the ASPCA listing. That's a good place to start. Amaryllis can make them ill as well. I love amaryllis. One of the things might be hanging plants that are harder for those pets to reach, or if people have shelves where they can keep them up high. You know, so it's kind of a way, you know, Ben and you, Larry, you and Ben mentioned some of the challenges of your cats and having plants.
Yeah.
And so that's a very good point. And the other thing, when you give plants as gifts, give a gift tag or information with the name of the plant. And even if you download something off of a reliable source on the Internet, I get a lot of calls from people go, well, I got this plant. It has green leaves. Do you know what it is? No. And so it's frustrating because they don't know the name of the plant, so it's hard for them to look up the information. So that's a really good addition. I think that's a great point. If they have pets and young children, be cautious. And then secondly, give care information and the name of the plant. So good thinking, Ann.
Yeah, really good thinking. Stephanie in Fitchburg, your turn. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, and hi, Melinda.
Hi.
Thank you for your program. I have a question regarding baptisia plants or baptisia seeds. I got some seeds at a seed exchange, and I'm not sure what I really need to do with them to get them planted and growing. Do I cover them with soil? Do I just throw them on top of the soil? Or what do I do and when do I do it?
You know, one of the things that I always say is with plants, I always look at where they grow naturally. And since Baptisia is native here, it's used to a cold period. So one of the things that you can do is give those, you know, they are harder seeds covered, so you may need to either soak them overnight before you plant them when you're ready to plant them. I would just store them. You can either, the ground's pretty hard right now, but I would take those and store them in the refrigerator in an airtight jar for the winter. That will keep the temperature consistently cold. They don't need to be frozen. Then in spring, you could soak them overnight to break through that hard seed shell and plant them. You could start them inside or plant them outdoors in the garden once the soil is workable. And I would plant them in a place where you could kind of monitor them. And then they are challenging to transplant, so you want to move them when they're relatively small or plant them in containers. Sink the pots in the ground so you don't have to water as often, but then they'll be easier to move to their permanent location.
Yeah, makes good sense. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for calling. Jackie in Green Bay has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, thank you. I need help with my Minnesota mock orange plants.
Okay.
Or bushes. They're outside. They're only about 3 years in this location. It was a former farm field, but it's brick-making clay. And they get about, they're on the east side of the house, so they get a lot of sunshine, almost full day. What kind of fertilizer should I put on them. I pruned them right after they were done blossoming this past year, like I thought I was supposed to do. And they shot up on the exact branch that I had pruned them, and no other new bushiness comes on them. I love them, and I want them to do well. I just don't know what to do.
Okay, so you're saying you're getting new growth, but no shoots coming from the ground. Is that what
right.
I'm understanding?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a couple things. One is we prune plants to manage their growth, stimulate growth like you're talking about, or encourage flowering. And mock oranges, as you know, bloom on old growth. And the Minnesota varieties have hardy flower buds. So if you've tried the old-fashioned mock orange and didn't have reliable bloom, the flower buds are often killed in our winter. So I just wanted to point out you made a good choice. They tend to be a little hard to—I have one, too, and it looks kind of just a couple stems coming up, and it's a little slow to send out some suckers. Occasionally taking one of the older stems right back to the ground as you reduce the height will encourage growth from the base. And it's just 3 years old, so it may take it a while. With trees and shrubs, it takes several years for them to get established, unlike, you know, perennials and annuals. So sometimes patience is important. If you're using a fertilizer, everyone knows I'll recommend Milorganite, but any low-nitrogen, slow-release fertilizer, because that'll stimulate top and bottom growth, and that's what, you know, Milorganite's like 5 or 6% nitrogen. So you're getting slow, steady release of nutrients. Do that in the spring before growth begins. So that encourages top and bottom growth, and then you don't get that big push of top growth at the expense of roots. So a low-nitrogen, slow-release fertilizer is a good choice if you're going to fertilize. And I would do that in the spring, and once every couple years is usually enough, especially with clay soil. One of the benefits, besides holding too much water and making good pottery, but it does hold on to the nutrients. And so your soils are pretty nutrient-rich, even though they're very challenging to garden in. So I do a shot of fertilizer this spring. Milorganite has 85% organic matter in it. So the filler is organic, so that helps feed the soil as well. So that's why the organic fertilizers work well, or something with an organic filler like Milorganite, because it's feeding your soil as well as the plant. So this spring, fertilize. If there's old stems or too long and leggy, take it down to the ground. That'll encourage more sprouting at the base.
There we go. Thank you so much for calling. Alan Webster, your turn. Hi, Al.
Oh, good afternoon, Larry, and hello to Belinda.
Hi.
Hi.
Question being is, my wife and I have a blue spruce, and it's been 3 years since we've seen the tree. We planted it as a very small tree about 17 years ago. And we have the and the tree is on a piece of property in northern Wisconsin that has since been sold. And we wanted to see, because it was a memorial tree for a family member, if it would be possible somehow to gather something from the tree to preserve the lineage. And I know nothing about blue spruce. Can that be done at all?
Yeah. You could try, if you have access to the property, it sounds like you do, or they'll let you have access, collecting the seeds before they open. The seeds are before the scales of the cones open. Is one way to do it. So you've got to, you know, once those scales kind of open, then the seeds often fall out. So you need to try to collect those. So you might check and see if there are any that still have the seeds intact. Give them a cold treatment over winter in the fridge, and then pot them up. You could try doing a cutting. The problem is the orientation of growth, and woody plants are very challenging to propagate from cuttings. But nursery propagators are very valuable, because a lot of what they know is not just what they've read in books, but what they've learned over years. So I think your best bet would be to try to collect some cones and then get the seeds out of those. Sometimes it's just drying the cones, and then they open up and the seeds will come out. Give them a cold period and plant them. I think that would be your easiest option.
Yeah, makes sense. And blue spruce is, I don't know, it's hard. They don't...
Well, yeah, hard to propagate and a lot of disease problems. But that whole memorial, I get the whole, you know, I think we all have plants we know we shouldn't grow. I know I do.
But we're going to do it anyway.
Exactly, because somebody gave them to me, or you planted it in honor of somebody. So, you know, it might be one of those you make it into a bonsai, you know.
Oh, yeah, there's not a bad idea. Thanks, Al, for calling. Melinda, do you have any presentations coming up, or are you done for the holiday season?
You know, I'm done until after the first of the year, so I'm busy kind of, believe it or not, still buttoning up a few things in my landscape. I want to invite people to our website. We've changed our website. We updated it. We're still transferring information and adding lots of new things, and please be patient, because when you change your website, you know, there's always an issue. So if you find one, let us know and be patient. So I want to encourage you to do that and join up in our e-newsletter. I promise I won't annoy you, because I'm lucky to get them out once a month, but try to share some good information and help you along your way in gardening. And just, you know, give the gift of gardening, whether it's an indoor plant, a gift certificate, helping kids maybe plant some herb seeds to give as a present, or decorate a pot to give to their favorite gardener. I think this is the season of giving, and I think gardeners know how to give all year long. So.
There we go. And you're a gift. Thank you so much, Melinda. You are a great gift to gardeners and non-gardeners alike, and we really always appreciate you being with us. And another gift to Wisconsin Public Radio is Michelle Good. She's a big gift to Wisconsin Public Radio. She does a wonderful job week in and week out here. And she's here to help us wind up this Wisconsin Public Radio year-end membership drive. And, you know, our single largest source of funding is from people just like you. That means that in this season of giving, your gift is so important. So I hope you'll take a few minutes right now at the end of this Garden Talk program to pledge a gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And we still have that dollar-for-dollar match going, Michelle.
We do. People have been trying to take advantage of it, but we still have money left for you to get your pledge matched. We've got about $700 still sitting out there. If this is the time, if this is what you wait for, take action. We are nearing the end of the, this is the last time you can say thank you for Larry during the week and get your pledge matched at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This generous match is from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association, and it means that they will match every single dollar that you give.
And it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So you can double your support for the programs you love by giving right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I have to say, I really love the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. I have the chance to talk at Master Gardener meetings. I never know as much as anybody's there, but I always enjoy talking with those folks because they're such wonderful people.
Yeah.
And they give. And here they are, $2,500 matching gift.
Trying to encourage other people to pledge. Do you know, we're nearing the end of our centennial year celebration. We have been around for 100 years, a long time, with this same commitment to quality. And it all happens because of you. You are the single largest piece of our budget, which means that everything we do here, we are capable of doing because of you.
So, if you haven't contributed yet, now is the time to do it. Thanks, by the way, if you've already contributed. But here's the way to do it. Just go to WPR.org online or pick up the phone. Call 888-202-2552.
Still money available for you to get your pledge doubled. And during this year-end membership drive, we have an extra special thank you gift. You can help people who are food insecure in your own area. Ask for one of the food bank gifts. There are options available at $10 or $20 a month.
So get started right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now, you might not have a gardening expert on speed dial, And that's fine.
That's
because
okay.
We do hear when you listen to the Larry Mueller Show, when you get that kind of great advice, and not just from gardening experts, but from all kinds of experts. Now, what's that worth to you? You know there would be a cost if you just looked up in the phone book or online, gardening expert. They'd charge you something.
Absolutely.
What is that worth to you? Think about that for a minute and then make a pledge. And remember, if you make it in the next 6 minutes, you will get your pledge doubled. Do it now. The Ideas Network is your source for helpful information, so support it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Michelle, I wanted to mention the 9XM Leadership Circle again. Those gifts of $100 a month or more, they are critical in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio and helping all of us. And there are many people who can't afford to contribute anything. And when you become a member of 9XM Leadership, you are helping not only yourself, but all those other folks who just can't afford to do it. So I hope you'll keep our connection strong to you and all our Wisconsin Public Radio listeners with a leadership gift of $100 or more at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
I'm John Nevins from Janesville, Wisconsin, and today I'd like to just share a little bit about why public radio means something to me. As a young boy, I listened to the radio quite a bit because we didn't have television. And I remember laying many times on a Saturday morning in front of the radio and listening to the programming and imagining that I was with the Lone Ranger or with whoever it was that was on the radio. And my parents forbid me to listen to the Green Hornet, but we used to sneak off and do it anyway.
He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America.
Today I don't have to sneak off at all. I listen to it daily in the kitchen as I fix breakfast in the morning and at noon when I'm fixing dinner. It's a very special part of my life, and I am very, very proud to be a member of WPR and to be here today to share that thanks with the organization.
John, thank you very much. And thanks to you if you've already contributed. If you haven't contributed yet, now is the time to do it here as we're into the last three or so minutes of our show. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Michelle Good, raising the money that keeps us going on the air. And your pledge, maybe it's $10 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
Larry, I got a little choked up when he said that he was proud of being a member. I'm proud. I am so proud to work here. The legacy of this organization. I mean, just like sitting across here with you, like, what an opportunity. And here's the great thing. When you make that pledge, you will feel that sense of pride. You will have ownership in this station. We say this over and over again, but it is so true. You make all of this possible. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have the equipment we have, the staff we have, the talent we have, the people who really put their heart and soul into what they do, if it wasn't for you, the listeners, and most importantly, the members. So please make that pledge while we have this dollar-for-dollar match in effect at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this year was my celebration, too, because I've been on Wisconsin Public Radio for 50 years out of the 100. And I was choked up a little bit to see from Maria in Sparta, who said, thank you for the 50 years of knowledge and entertainment you have given me since arriving in this country.
Thank you, Maria. That's lovely.
What a wonderful, loving statement. I thank you so much for that comment. And I thank you if you've already contributed. But if you haven't contributed yet, here we are out of time. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.